Hey guys, it's Sherri Ann Richardson from experimentalhomesteader.com, and tonight we are talking about task number 14 of the 50 survival prepper tasks for beginners that I've been talking about. And number 14 is to set cash aside for a no power event. As we have all experienced over the past several years, there are often times when the power goes out and the only way you have to pay for anything is cash. There have been a lot of events where credit card machines and so forth have also gone down. And if you don't have any cash in that event, you can't buy food, buy gas, buy whatever it is you're going to buy. So, along that same lines, if the grid goes down, not only will ATMs not work, but you won't be able to walk into a grocery store and charge supplies onto your debit or credit card. Many places will be cash-only establishments from that point on, and most people rarely carry cash anymore. And like I said, we have experienced this since COVID. We've also experienced the exact opposite, where no place would take cash because they couldn't make change. So make sure you have enough cash on hand to help you secure what you need in the immediate moment for a major disaster. Supplies will go fast, and you don't want to have to wait for any banking options to get what you need. However, if there's a no power event, the bank is probably not going to be open. So, unless you know somebody that will loan you some cash, you're pretty well going to be out of luck. If you've ever been through a disaster of any kind, we have a lot of snowstorms here that take the power lines down. And when the power company starts saying that, you know, it could be a week before they get power restored, people panic. They rush out to the nearest store that's open. Lowe's is the big one here. And they buy up the generators, they buy up the non-electric heaters, like the propane heaters and so forth. And they try to heat their homes with those. Or they try to rush and get the generator hooked into their fuse box so that it will power their house and hope that they've bought a generator big enough. Now, this is not a good idea to do this. For one thing, unless you know how to do wiring, if you're trying to hook a generator into a circuit breaker box or a fuse box, you really should have an electrician come and do that. I know the power company here actually requires that you do that. And if they find out you've hooked up a generator or even solar power, anything into that fuse box or circuit breaker box, depending on what you have, they can actually cut off your electricity and not return it to the home until the situation is remedied. It could be really dangerous to hook things up the wrong way anyway. So that's why, if you're thinking that you're going to get a generator, it's always best to buy it well in advance of any kind of disaster that might happen, any kind of the grid going down or anything. Buy it in advance and have a licensed electrician come out and hook it up for you and make sure everything is okay. And then the other part of that is, don't wait until you have no power to try to figure out how to use your generator and how it's going to work. You actually need to use it and test it and kind of figure out how it's going to work, what it's going to run, how often you need to refill the tank on it, if you've got a gas-powered one. And kind of get to know that generator before you actually need to use it and rely on it to do what it's supposed to do. That way, if something is wrong with the generator, which could happen, if there's some kind of glitch, if you run into some problems, you've got time to get those problems remedied when there's not a looming disaster where you might actually need to have that power. Again, the cash. As you're putting cash away, and many people used to use the envelope system to do that. But as you're putting cash away to keep for an emergency situation, you want to keep smaller bills. I would actually keep a mix of bills, but I would make sure that I had a lot of ones and fives. That way, if you're going out and you're going to buy something and say, you know, it's going to be $2, you could put that $2 in your pocket and pull it out. And instead of people seeing a wallet or a billfold full of money, they're going to think that you don't have any. And, you know, look at this person. They just pulled out $2 or even pulled out change to pay for what they wanted. So they must not have anything. So, you know, if they're thinking of doing something like robbing someone, they're going to pass on to the next person, hopefully, because they're going to just think, you know, you're a waste of time. The other thing to think about is if you have cash and the grid is down for a long time, you can always use that cash to buy stuff off of other people if you don't have anything to barter. So you can also use that at gas stations to buy gas. Let's say that there's a tornado in your area, a hurricane or something, and you've got to leave, and you've got to leave now. And let's say that you've got cash. The credit card machine is down at the local gas station, so you can pay for your gas and be on your way. Let's say you now get to the hotel that you're going to stay at. And let's say the credit card machines are still down, but you really need a room because you need to get off the road. You need to get in a safe, dry place, and you need to get your thoughts together. If you have cash, even though they might make you put down a deposit, if you have cash, at least you can get a place to stay. You can get yourself some supper for that night. And you can kind of get yourself situated and wait for the grid to come back up, the credit card machine to come back up, whatever the situation is. So this is why keeping cash on hand is always a good idea. When you are keeping cash on hand, you want to make sure it's in a small fireproof safe that you can quickly get out of your home if you have to grab and go. I say a fireproof safe because you certainly wouldn't want your money to burn up. You may also want to make sure that it's waterproof in case of flooding, because you wouldn't want it to come in and fill your heavy case up with water. The one that we have is concrete. So you wouldn't want that, you know, somehow for the water to get into that concrete case, and then it's going to be really, really heavy to pick up and try to carry. And if you have any kind of lifting problems or physical issues that prevent you from being able to lift something heavy, this would not be a good situation. If you have a child that may be grabbing that as part of their go bag kit, they might not be able to pick it up if it's filled with water. It might be too heavy for them. So again, things to think about, because you really wouldn't want to carry a very large amount of cash with you on a day-to-day basis. I mean, certainly, you know, a few hundred is one thing. Several thousand is a completely different situation. So kind of think all of this through and come up with a plan of what you're going to do. With that said, we do have several planners at shop.experimentalhomesteader.com that you may want to check into. There's some self-sufficiency planners, there's some homesteading binders, there's some prepping planners, and all of these were created with the idea to help you create your plan, your emergency escape plan, your homesteading plan, you know, whatever they're for, to create your plan to assist you in being able to quickly and easily reach the goals that you have set for yourself. And in the case of an emergency, to have that plan in place so that the whole family knows what it is and all of you can get out and get someplace safe and be together. So anyway, guys, please subscribe, thumbs up, thumbs down, comments below. Thanks for watching and have a great night.